Here we are at the end of the first week of rehearsal for the complete World of Sports Abridged. How are we doing?
How's it coming?
Perfect. I think we'll see you in a month.
Okay, we're ready to open.
Yeah.
Good. See you all there in Lowell. Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 193, Reduced Rehearsal Barn.
Well, we're only going to be opening, what, here in the barn for a few horses and a cat, right?
No, I think there will be paying customers at some point.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no. I think the first run-through will happen for two horses, a barn cat, and yes, my kids, Quincy and Daisy, and Reed's kids, Campbell and Kian, and Allie, of course.
And Allie.
Our stage manager.
Yes, Allie Bostet.
Should I explain? I should explain. We're rehearsing. We're literally, hey, I've got a barn. Let's put on a show. We've got my family has a place in Northern California, and there's an actual old early 20th century barn that we are rehearsing in the upper loft of. We've actually tweeted some pictures of it.
Yeah. A few loose boards.
Right, yes. Yeah,
you don't want to jump around on this.
Stay away from that board and that board and that board.
Yes, and please don't be bored.
Fortunately, there is a lot of hay underneath, so if we do go crumb crashing through the floor, we'll run into some hay. But this barn holds memories. Does it not, Reed?
Yes, we've rehearsed a couple of shows here.
Yeah.
We rehearsed the Bible, the complete Word of God, abridged here in very early 1995, I think.
Yeah.
It was winter. It was cold. Now it's summer and it's cold. I don't know what the deal is. Austin and I both spent a lot of time in Sonoma County. And Sonoma County in August is usually hotter than hell.
Yeah.
And it's like early spring weather here. No, very strange.
We're 1,000 feet up elevation from the coast, and we're probably a mile from the coast. But we're usually above the coastal fog here. But the fog's been coming in 1,000 feet high.
Yeah, and it makes it that damp cold. So you were here in the winter. So what, did you like put on every costume change and wear all of them at once to be warm enough to rehearse?
Costumes, schmostumes.
We didn't have costumes by then.
Long johns, sweatshirts, thermal underwear.
Yeah, and we did not do the fig leaf bit here.
No.
Not here. Then we rehearsed a complete Millennium musical bridge. My biggest memory from that is doing a lot of rehearsings at night. I remember you, Reed, Dee, and I up here at night singing and really bundled up. It was the worst time to be singing songs and rehearsing songs. We had a lot of blocking we had to learn.
Yeah, here we are 11 years later, and rehearsing up here at night doesn't seem like anything I would want to do. Let's do a morning session, an afternoon session, and call it a day.
Call it a day. Well, we were young.
Back when we were alive, I remember that. Yeah.
But actually, rehearsals are going very well. I mean, regular podcast listeners will know that we developed this show at the Sonoma County Repertory Theater in Sebastopol, California, about an hour from here, an hour from where you grew up, Reed, mm-hmm. from where you live, and
as a non-reduced Shakespeare Company production.
Yeah, and with three different actors, and we got to watch them learn the lines. We got to watch them perform in front of an audience and get great responses. We got to watch them try out some of our lesser material, and then we got to sit in the back going, oh, good, let's cut that.
And now there's a lot lesser of the lesser material.
Yeah, there's a lot lesser of the lesser material, we hope. But my biggest fear, I mean, those guys did yeoman work. We should give a shout out to Chad Yarish, Ben Stowe, and Dodds Delzell, the three actors who learned the lines and tried out this material. But they did
and relearned as we rewrote daily.
Yeah, yeah. Learned the lines and relearned the lines. But so really we are riding on their coattails now that we've come into rehearsal and we're trying to learn the stupid lines that those guys wrote. I mean, us.
Yes.
We wrote.
Damn it! It was us.
It was us.
Yeah. See, I have a good excuse. You guys don't have a good excuse for not knowing your lines.
True.
You wrote them.
No, I know.
What's the matter with you?
You know, we open in, three or four weeks, and we'll know our lines in 6 or 8 weeks.
Yeah, I think by the time we close in Lowell, we'll be ready to open. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think, actually, we're farther along. I mean, wouldn't you say at the end of the first week, we're certainly farther along in getting the show up on its feet than we normally are?
Yeah, because we're spending much less time trying to rewrite scenes. There's lots. Virtually every scene has stuff that we're changing, but it's much more minor.
Well, yeah, they're little moments. They're little. I mean, I think the biggest thing so far we've done is restructure the scene that takes place in the Antarctic.
Yeah.
Because the point of the sports, the show, is that it's the complete world of sports. So we cover every sport ever played on every continent since the beginning of time. And we've divided the sports into 9 categories from 7 continents. And so we have to go to all the different continents. So we have a scene that takes place in the Antarctic.
Yeah, but you know, see, the fact that this show is way more advanced, that it's in better shape at this point in time, actually for me is daunting, because that raises the bar. Because if you've put it together, done a few workshops in front of a couple of audiences, and then throw it out onto a stage, you have a really good excuse if you tank.
Well,
but
yes.
We don't. We're going to have to actually be good, right?
No, that's a very good point, and I really hope that the majority of the first audience members in Lowell, Massachusetts at Merrimack Rep do not listen to this podcast.
Yes, I hope. Because this show is in terrible shape. And we keep saying to ourselves, well, you know, Sonoma County Rep only holds 70 people, Lowell 300. Oh, it'll be a boisterous, loud response in Lowell, and if it isn't,
Well, and that was the thing that we were concerned about testing it out in Sebastopol with a 75-seat house. I mean, it's lovely, and talk about reduced. I mean, it couldn't be more reduced, but it was hard to, if they didn't have a full house, it was hard to get what we like to call that critical mass of response. And so there were times where we went, do we know? Is this joke really working? But the reverse of that is that if 75 people liked it or 40 people liked it, they made a joyful noise and made a ton of noise, then chances are an audience of 300 or more will make an even bigger noise.
Yeah. Well, the odds are good, and people we've worked with before, and Charles Towers from Merrimack Rep and Michael Butler from Center Rep in Walnut Creek, California, came to see the show and really liked it with the small audience in that little space. And I think back to when we were workshopping the books show up at up in Seattle, and we had some very, well, we weren't workshopping it. The show was developed, but it was still at the point where we were tightening and tightening and tightening, and we had 2 or 3 weeks of very small audiences, and that it was actually very good, because we jettisoned stuff that was okay with a big house, but after you just lose patience with small house after small house. So I'm hopeful that if we could make it work in that small house in Sebastopol, that we could definitely make it work in a bigger house in Lowell. But we'll see.
Well, and you know, the next time we play it for a small audience, I mean, even if we get a couple of half full shows in Lowell, we'll go, wow, all right, that's, we want to get rid of the stuff that will only work with the big house. We want all the stuff in the show to work with every audience.
Yeah. What's been interesting to me is, because the Redo Shakespeare Company didn't produce that run in Sebastopol, Austin and I, and I think we've talked about this in podcasts before, but we were only wearing 2 of our 4 Redo Shakespeare Company hats. Since we weren't producing it or acting in it, we were only writing it and directing it. So we could sit back, take notes, make changes. And then we said, you know, when we start saying these words ourselves and putting it on our feet and it becomes a part of the Redo Shakespeare Company, it's going to change. And no matter, although I saw it, I don't know, 2-3 dozen times in Sebastopol, even the first couple times through, I said, oh, no, I need to switch this phrase or cut this part, and it's just, it gets tighter and tighter.
Well, and you put the actor hat on. I mean, I think actors bring a lot to it. Actors bring so much to it. And there was some in the rehearsal process in Sebastopol where the actors were able to say to us, this is confusing to me, what if we tried this or that? That didn't happen very much. We didn't have a lot of time in that rehearsal process to kind of sit around and debate, oh, what would be the best? And to the actors' credit, they didn't try to impose. They went, all right, this is a new script. We want to do exactly what the authors want. And they were great. They were, you know, did yeoman work, as we said. Now we have a little bit of the freedom, because the three of us have worked together so long, and you are coming into it new, Matt Rippey. We're able to have more conversations, and you're able to say, wait, I have questions about this.
And Reed mentioned something interesting about the writing.
Wait a minute.
When did that happen?
I said that was unintentional.
It was one thing that was interesting.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, you didn't realize it. I think you were talking in your sleep.
I wasn't paying attention.
that as writers, hearing, like, for instance, if Ben... whose part I'm playing or who is playing my, played my part, if Ben had a sentence or two that felt messy in his mouth, mm-hmm. And then you find me struggling with the same sentence, then you think, ah, okay, I maybe need to rewrite that. It's awkward. Either that or maybe Ben and I are psychologically twins somehow. I don't know. But
that's why you're both playing the role. Yeah, the part right. about... Laddies, can I help? A game is simply a competition, whether it's a sport. And right. I remember Ben struggling with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in rehearsal, the first couple of rehearsals, Matt struggling with that line, and I go, oh, we didn't write that right.
Yeah, we didn't write that well. Sorry, Ben.
Yeah.
Hey, bonjour. Je suis Russell Lees, scénariste à Ubisoft Montréal. Et vous écoutez le podcast Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Where can you see the RSC? The very best way to stay up to date about all our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page as well.
One thing that's been great for me is, it is no secret that I just don't do sports. I don't know much about
You went
them.
To a performing arts high school, did you not?
Exactly. Yes. We didn't have PE. We didn't have any of that. And, you know, I mean, this is how lame I am. I need to learn the melody line in words to take me out to the ball game. Yeah. That's pretty sad.
That is pretty sad.
So it's been fun for me because I've been, wikiing all these, great sports figures, Debbie Brill, Babe Diedrichson Zaharias, and Karl Marx, and all these, figures.
that great athlete, Karl Marx.
Yeah. Yeah. So
well, and there's a line in thing in the show about the great white dope, who Austin is,
yeah.
or we say he is. So you looked up Jack Johnson, who the great white hope to defeat Jack Johnson. And so I must say I've been very impressed with your diligence about finding out what all these references
well,
are.
Well, and the big surprise is that I find it interesting. I assumed it would be laborious and painful, but actually, you keep hearing me over on my laptop going, "Reed, how cool! Did you know about Jeffries?"
But why do you think this is so interesting to you? Is it like a world, like a doorway into a world that you never considered, or it's just assumed that,
Well, maybe it's because I always assumed that sports were boring. Maybe just seeing it on the television or, I couldn't feel the excitement. I've never been to a baseball game. I've been to one football
game. Well, you're not going to feel much excitement at a baseball game, but continue.
Hey,
sorry.
Back off,
Reed.
Well, I will end you.
Leave him alone, man. It's, I think maybe I'm surprised to find drama. I mean, it's you couldn't write it better. I mean, the stories that I'm finding, I even in searching boxing, looking up boxers, I don't like the idea of, pounding people and flesh, smacking flesh. And yet I've stumbled onto this Brit, Randolph Turpin. What a great story. And I watched all 15 rounds of the middleweight championship match in 1961, and it was cool. It's like a drama. The story has a great finish. I mean, maybe that's what I'm liking, drama.
I wonder, we've talked a lot about the difference between a sport and a game. I wonder if that's one of the differences between sport and game. I don't think of games as having drama, but I think of sport as having drama, as having drama. And I think of sports, there's an emotional component to a sport or that kind of competition that even between the classic thing of a father and a son, a father and a son having a catch or whatever. And I don't think of that, a father and a son bonding over backgammon or something,
We have very different families.
Oh, see, okay,
yeah,
yes.
Parcheesi was a real, no, I'm making that up. but getting back to two things.
Am I wrong? Do you think there's an emotional quality? I mean, I think there's something, I think that's one of the reasons that the subject is interesting for a show,
mm-hmm.
because there is that drama that you're talking about, and there is that there can be that emotional aspect to it.
Well, we always try to pick a topic that people take seriously, and the further we've gotten into this sports thing, people take their sports very, very seriously.
Oh my God, and we're opening in New England. That's going to be really
tough. Well, they don't care about any sports there, do they?
No, they actually kind of do.
Yeah. Oh, really? Well, maybe that's a bad choice of a place to open. but no, people are very, very passionate about it. And sometimes, as I think you've said before, sometimes it's only one team in one particular sport that someone is passionate about. Right. Maybe you're just a Red Sox fan, or maybe you're just a Giants fan, or tennis, like even Matt, who doesn't follow sports very much, has loved tennis and played tennis since he was a kid. So he has that one little bit of knowledge about.
And you go to Wimbledon every year.
Yeah.
Or the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think for the past 5 years, it's been a tradition.
That's awesome.
And how have you done?
I've lost first round. Yeah, shame.
You weren't part of that really long match that went on and on.
No, but I was there for it. Oh. Well, for the first day of it, yeah.
Wow. Having a catch. When I was a kid, we played catch. What did you do?
We played catch. I don't know. I don't know where they got expression having a catch.
The first time
that's the one they use in the movie. Well, they say that in the movie.
That's the first time I ever heard it. Was Field of Dreams. Yeah. Kevin Costner's having a catch with his dad. Maybe it's a Midwestern or an Eastern thing. I don't know. Send your responses
please.
To
feedback at reducedshakespeare.com. Send us an email if you know the origin of the phrase having a catch. Or you can comment on this podcast page. On the page for this episode, 190. Because Matt Rippey turned the comments page on. Webmaster Matt Rippey. Thank you, Matt. All right, so you're kind of get all new to this sports thing, but Reed, do you have a preference? College sports, professional sports? Do you follow one or the other more?
Pro.
Really?
Yeah. Warriors, Giants, 49ers, those would be my teams.
Warriors? I thought you were talking about a professional sports team.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, no. Yes. Yes, there used to be a professional basketball team in the Bay Area, but there hasn't been for some number of years now.
No. I don't know why, but I really prefer college sports. It's something about...
Why? What is that?
I'm not sure. I think it's because college sports fans are not, you know, stupid and mindlessly violent. You like,
really?
like pro sports fans. You know what? If we wanted,
they're just stupid, mindless.
Yeah, right. That's what it is. But you know what? If we really wanted to do something about this in the show, if we wanted to be more like college fans, we should have our own fight song.
Why?
Because we're not stupid and mindlessly violent.
I'm violent.
I'm stupid.
No, listen. Every college has a fight song about the glory, the greatness, the glory of athletic competition.
I don't know it.
Ours could be really simple, like something grand, something Shakespearean, like "We band of brothers, we few, we happy few, we fight all others for honor, glory too. We band of brothers, we answer." Freedom's call. Stay strong. It's all for one and one for all. Huh? What do you think?
No. If we're going to have a fight song, it needs to have a Y chromosome, you know? It just has to be shortened to the point, like, fight, 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 kill, 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 crush and maim, we will rip their lungs out, strip their tongues out, leave them all to die.
Nice.
Yikes. Thank you.
You know,
break their kneecaps, smash their fingers, bring the pain and make it linger, make them cry, no, make them die. Oh, this is my reduced fight song.
Wow. Well, it had a lot of fight, but didn't have a lot of song.
Hey, you do something
come
better.
Come on, back off. Just stay away.
Guys, look, I think you're overthinking this. You're making it too complicated. A good fight song, right, should be simple and uplifting, you know, something like, we gotta go out right now and win the game, or else our lives will never be the same. But now are the athletes proudly take the stage. We up in the stands proudly refuse to act our age. There's nothing we love more than our sports and ball. We rally behind our champions, warts and all. With all of our might, we're strong. Sing right along. Everyone sing this reduced fight song.
Wow, nice. I like that.
Doesn't that sort of sound exactly like every other fight song we've ever heard.
Come on, it's better than fight, fight, two, two.
Come on, pretty boy. Don't make me crush you musically.
Yeah, bring it on, man.
All right, wait. No, hang on, wait. Reed, do that thing that you were doing.
The fight, 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 kill, kill. I thought you hated that.
No, but humor me. Try
all
that.
All right.
You.
Fight, 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 kill, kill,
okay, Matt,
kill,
you
kill,
your
fight, 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 fight,
now.
Kill, kill, kill,
go
kill, kill, kill,
or else our lives
and maybe we'll
rip
their lungs
their
tongues out,
sleeves
their all to die.
We right
band
and
smash their fingers.
We rally behind our freedom's
call.
With all of our might
and strength,
make them die.
Everyone,
this is my
song.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your fight song via email to feedback@ReducedShakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at Facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at Twitter.com/Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster and fellow player Matt Rippey, drum major Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Alex Salmon. No reason, it's just random. Thanks to playwright Russ Lees for giving the podcast its very first bilingual celebrity blurb. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 193/579 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Like a quartet!
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.